The talk you are about to hear is by Sensei Richard von Stürmer. For our Tei Show this evening, Tuesday the 29th of April, we'll take up a koan. This one is from the Blue Cliff Record, case number 6, Yunnan's Every Day is a Good Day. If you're working with koans, working through different koan collections, some koans are deeper than others. There are a few, not that many, but there are a few that they're sort of so-so. They don't really stick with you. You actually forget them after a while. And then there are other koans that remain with you through your life. And this is one of them for me. Depends on person to person, but this is recognized as being an important koan. It goes like this. Yunnan addressed the assembly saying, "I don't ask about the days before the 15th of the month. How about after the 15th? Give me a word about those days." Yunnan himself answered for everyone, "Every day is a good day." Here he's presenting a fundamental, an absolute teaching. Just a little bit of decoding. Traditionally, the 15th of the month was the night of the full moon. So, with the full moon being a classic symbol of enlightenment, the days before the 15th of the month signify the time before enlightenment, and the days after point to enlightenment, the time after enlightenment. But with this, every day is a good day. Yunmen, and often there's a sword in Yunmen's words. So with this, every day is a good day. He cuts away enlightenment, non-enlightenment. He cuts away past and future. Just every day is a good day. A little bit about him. Yunmen was, his dates are 864 to 949. He was born near Shanghai on the east coast of China and traveled south to study Zen. This was at the end of the Tang Dynasty, and it was a very time of great turmoil. Wars had been going on for a century or so. China had experienced a great famine. So it was very unsettled times. And at the age of 25, he met his first teacher, Mu Tzu. And now Mu Tzu was a harsh teacher, a severe teacher. It's said that he could tell the disposition of a student by the student's footsteps as they approached his room. When the student was near, Mu Tzu would slam his door shut and yell, "Nobody here!" So Yunnan, on several occasions, tried to get in to Mu Tzu's room, but Mu Tzu always slammed the door in his face. And on his third or fourth attempt, he did manage to get inside the room, but Mu Tzu grabbed him by the collar and shouted, "Speak, speak!" And when Yunnan couldn't speak a word, he was pushed away, and Mu Tzu slammed the door. And Yunmen put his foot in the doorway, and the door slammed shut and broke his leg. And that moment, he attained enlightenment. But from henceforth, he had a limp. The leg or the foot never really healed. And after that, he studied with Shui Fan, Seppo in Japanese, and Shui Fan was a far more subtle teacher, and he had many Dharma heirs who went on to become teachers, and Yuan Men was one of them. Yuan Men became Shui Fan's Dharma heir. And he eventually established his own monastery at the foot of Mount Yuan Men, which translates as Gate of the Clouds, in the south of China, and taught there for many years. And he was the founder. Yuan Men was the founder of one of the five schools of Zen. But his lineage vanished after two generations and was absorbed into the Linji, the Rinzai school. A Dharma descendant of Yuan Men's, Shui Do, was one of the compilers of the Blue Cliff Record, where our case this evening comes from. So, Yuan Men was famous for his one-word responses. So here are a few. A monk asked, "What is Zen?" Yuan Men said, "Yes, yes." And of course, that yes goes beyond yes and no. The monk then asked, "What is the way?" Yuan Men replied, "Go." I said, "What is the way? Go." Of course, he's saying, experience it for yourself. Don't ask about it. A monk asked, "If one's parents won't allow it, then one can't leave home. One can't become a monk. How can one leave home?" Yuan Men said, "Shallow." This guy is getting caught up in leaving home, not leaving home. So the monk then said, "I don't understand." Yuan Men said, "Deep." "I don't understand. I don't know." That's better. Work it out from that. "I don't understand. I don't know." Do what you have to do. A monk asked Yuan Men, "What is the eye of the genuine teaching?" And in Japanese, this is Shobogenzo, the eye of the Dharma. The master said, "Everywhere. Everywhere is the eye of the teaching." Another monk asked the same question, "What is the eye of the genuine teaching?" This time, Yuan Men said, "The steam of rice gruel." Very particular. The steam of rice gruel, or the smell of bread when it comes out of the oven. Someone else asked Yuan Men, "What is the fundamental teaching?" The master said, "No question, no answer." What is the fundamental teaching? No question, no answer. It's there before the question arises. Once Yuan Men said, "What is accomplished when one has mentioned the two words Buddha and Dharma?" Yuan Men replied, "Dead frogs." You're going to talk about Buddha and Dharma? Well, they're just dead frogs. He was... Though his words are always sharp, some of them are quite humorous as well. One day, Yuan Men put his hand into the mouth of a wooden lion and cried out, "He's biting me! Help! Help!" Going on from the lion, a monk asked, "How about when the lion growls?" Yunlin said, "Never mind about when it growls. Try roaring." The monk did so. But Yunlin said, "It's an old rat squeaking." So obviously, in his demonstration, the monk didn't really roar loudly enough. It was just an old rat squeaking. And then maybe the most famous of Yunmen's statements, a monk asked, "What is Buddha?" And Yunmen replied, "A shit stick," or "a shit wiping stick," which is a koan. It's probably the most extreme statement in Zen, and it's been said that it was so shocking, even for Zen students, that it was one of the reasons that Yunmen's school eventually died out. What is Buddha? A shit stick. In China in those days, and also in medieval Japan, it's often a lack of paper. And paper was very highly respected too. So people wiped their bums with sticks. If you were an aristocrat, you'd have a beautiful lacquered stick. If you were a poor person, you'd just have any old piece of wood to wipe your bum. Anyway, what's Yunmen getting at here? What's he trying to take away from that monk with his reply, "a shit stick"? In its own way, every day is a good day, is equally challenging. Master Hakuin said of this koan, "This saying is cold. It is no explanation. It is hard to penetrate, hard to examine." So Hakuin's words are a good pointer. Yunmen's "every day is a good day" is not some superficial New Age saying. We need to go back to the Buddha's great enlightenment, when he looked up at the morning sky and saw Venus and exclaimed, "Wonder of wonders, from the very beginning all beings are Buddha, endowed with wisdom and virtue, lacking nothing." When we really realize that we lack nothing, that everything, the 10,000 things, confirm our intrinsic enlightenment, then every day is a good day. Aiken Roshi said, "Could Yunmen rightfully have said, every day is a bad day?" No. Hakuin said, "All beings by nature are Buddha," not "all beings by nature are Mara." Mara being delusion, ignorance, forces of ignorance. All beings by nature are Buddha, echoing what the Buddha said. I'm sort of preparing this talk. I struggle a little bit with "every day is a good day," thinking of the time we're living through, a time of great injustice and suffering. How can every day be a good day for a family who have lost a child in Gaza, or for a child who's lost their parents? You can't say every day is a good day, at the bottom of a bomb crater, or in a hospital ward with shattered bodies all around. You can't say every day is a good day in regard to people who have lost their lives in Hamas's attack on Israel on October the 7th, or people who lost their lives in New York on September the 11th. It's the wrong context. It's the wrong context. And I think this is an important point. Yunmen was speaking to his assembly of monks when he said, every day is a good day. And going through the centuries, he's talking to us. As Zen students, we should take this teaching to heart. We have to make it personal and apply it to our own lives. So that's the context. Example of a wrong context. When Roshi and I were training at the Rochester Zen Center, we took part in a demonstration in downtown Rochester against the military involvement in the Gulf War in Iraq. And a local television crew turned up and interviewed some of the demonstrators. And when they turned their camera on one of our Zen Center group, he stared into the lens and said loudly, "Just move!" Which was completely inappropriate. And people watching in their living rooms, watching TV, would have been totally perplexed. This crazy guy shouting, saying loudly, "Just move." It was the wrong context, and I ticked him off afterwards. So, we must take this koan of Yunmen's into our own life, into whatever happens to us, whatever pain or obstructions we experience. Today is a good day. Every day we're adapting to conditions. Every day we have the potential to realize our true nature. While I was in Rochester in 1997, my father suddenly died back in Auckland. He had an aneurysm. So I immediately flew back to Auckland to arrange his funeral. And with this sudden loss, there was just grief. That was fine, to grieve deeply. And his death for me cut away a lot of what was superfluous. It was a direct teaching of impermanence, and it also revealed the importance of our connection with others, with those close to us, with family members. So for me, in the days after his death, with all their sadness, these were good days. These were good days. Every day is a good day, goes beyond optimism and pessimism. It's said that Buddhism is neither optimistic nor pessimistic, but realistic. We see things clearly. We see things for what they are. And at the same time, we affirm our true nature and the true nature of others. Médecins Sans Frontières doctor in Gaza said to a newly arrived aid worker who was just overwhelmed at what was happening, overwhelmed by the suffering, he said, "Let's save our pessimism for better times." Which is, this is such a wonderful teaching. This Médecin Sans Frontières doctor, who no doubt had been in all sorts of extreme situations as a doctor, different parts of the world. Let's save our pessimism for better times. Very, very wise. In such a situation like in Gaza, you need all your energy to respond to what is before you, to those who require your help. You can't let yourself fall into a negative state of mind. Ryokan, the great Japanese poet monk, wrote a verse: "When a painful day is met, the painful day is met with welcome. At the time of death, death is met with welcome." Open arms. When a painful day is met, the painful day is met with welcome. One of the things I find preparing Teisho, oftentimes you get material from different sources that you don't expect. I was reading a book by W.H. Sebald on Austrian writers, and there popped up this writing from Montaigne, the great 16th century French writer, which is perfect for this Teisho and welcoming death. He wrote, "In everything else there may be sham. The fine reasonings of philosophy may be a mere pose in us, or else our trials, by not testing us to the quick, give us a chance to keep our face always composed. But in the last scene, between death and ourselves, there is no more pretending. We must talk plainly. We must show what there is that is good and clean at the bottom of the pot." Again, another very rich image. We must show what there is that is good and clean at the bottom of the pot. There's a parallel teaching to Yunmen's "Every day is a good day," and that's a saying by Master Linchi Rinzai. And he said, "There is nothing I dislike. There is nothing I dislike." Again, it's a lofty teaching. Of course, straight away, the opening of "Affirming Faith and Mind" comes to mind. "The great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose." We can be defined by our preferences. I like this food. Oh, I don't like this food. I hate that song. Now this is really good music. We have our favorite writers. We have our favorite filmmakers. Oh, Tarkovsky. Oh, Kurosawa. That's fine. But our preferences do reinforce our sense of a separate self. How refreshing when Lin Shi comes along and says, "There is nothing I dislike." Okay, play that Taylor Swift song out loud. Oh, bring on the plate of broccoli. Very exalted teaching. Master Xing Yin tells this story. I think it's probably set in Taiwan in the 20th century. There was a modern Chan or Zen master called Living Buddha of Gold Mountain. A rich man asked him to help his daughter, who was dying from tuberculosis. The doctors had given up on her. When the master reached her bedside, he gathered her in his arms and kissed her full on the lips. She struggled to get away, and others tried to stop him, but he held her tight for 10 minutes. You can imagine the scene in the hospital room. Then he let go, turned around, and vomited a pile of putrid black filth. The people were shocked and disgusted. They asked how he could stand to suck it out of her. He said, "What's so awful about this? As a matter of fact, it's quite good." He scooped up the filth, fried it, and ate it. And by the way, Xing Yin says, the girl was cured. So it's quite an extreme example of there's nothing I dislike. Every day is a good day. Really is. Really is. When we have a mind of equanimity, when we let all our preferences, our likes and dislikes, our expectations, we can let them fall away. And then, of course, is this present moment. And whatever this present moment brings, we're okay. We can meet it. We can meet it. We can rely on our innate wisdom and compassion. We can respond. A few lines from Wordsworth. All that we behold is full of blessing. All that we behold is full of blessing. All, ugly things, discomforting things, nothing left out. Everything can be seen as a blessing. Our pet dies again. There's grieving, there's sadness. That's also a blessing. Another thing that came out of the blue that I shoehorned into this Tay show. A few days ago, I was reading online a brief article in the Herald on a Kurdish Kiwi singer, Nuri, who's gaining wide acclaim in Los Angeles as a soul singer. And she was born in a Syrian refugee camp, and then her parents came to New Zealand when she was quite young. And she says, "I take every day as a blessing. I'm so grateful to even have a bad day because I'm alive." I'm so grateful to even have a bad day because I'm alive. And that's what is inspiring about refugee background people, especially if we have them as our friends, is all they've been through, just how open they are, and how many of them, just how willing they are to just to do their best to contribute to their new country. Then there's a verse by one of my favorite authors, Peter Handke. He writes, "The sun has been shining for weeks, and I have been sitting on the terrace, and to everything that crossed my mind, and to everything I saw, I only said, yes, yes." And while I was working this Tay show, from out of nowhere, a song bubbled up. When I was 10 in 1967, there was a hit song by the Tremolos. Anyone remember the Tremolos? Mm-hmm. Yep, Peter does. Mm-hmm. How about you, other Peter?
I've heard of them, but I don't
know. Do you remember what their hit song was?
No, you're testing me.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to sing you the opening of it. So this was the Tremolos hit song was, "Even the good times, even the bad times are good. Soon as I get to you, baby, I just have to hold you, and even the bad times are good." So that stayed with me. Every day is a good day. I have my own verses to this koan. Every day is a good day when I don't have the answer and I don't have any answers. Every day is a good day when I make a stupid mistake and blush when recalling it. Every day is a good day when the trains are cancelled and no bus appears, leaving you miles from home. Every day is a good day when the sun slips below the horizon and with the blink of an eye, it's night again. On another occasion, Yunmen said, "I want to be told neither about before today, nor about after today. Come on, tell me something about today." On behalf of his audience, he said, "Now's the time." And now with that, we'll finish and recite the four vows. The teaching you have received is offered freely. If you would like to make a donation to support the continuation of this podcast service or learn more about practice opportunities at the Auckland Zen Centre, please visit www.aucklandzen.org.nz.